Hantu. We are going to start the weekly English medium discussion, and we have already appointed team. Before going to the appointed team, I wish to open the discussion for anyone who wish to express ideas or questions or interview reports. Or any other contribution. If there is no such, we will go back to the book. So with that idea, please take time to express yourself. If it is not so, please remember we are going to go back to the Guhattaka Sutta.
Avasarai Bhante, we have received two reports today. With your permission, I can table them.
Both may be in English.
Yes, Bhante.
Also, I inform them, each day we have a discussion at 1 o'clock. They can join that also. But no harm, we can take to these reports.
These two reports are from Hasini and Onaya. Remember last week also they... send some reports, so I read them, Bhante. Dear Bhante, I am 14 years old and have been practicing for 2.5 years. I sent you my experience with frustration and you told me to be ready for the frustration when it comes. This is my experience. Please advise me. Experience. The frustration came because I was not mindful. However, I was ready for it, so I was not surprised or startled by it. Instead, I sat down and watched the frustration when it came. In my previous report, I described the state of nothingness as an empty room where only the awareness of awareness is there. So when I focused on the frustration, I saw that it had filled up that empty room. Now only the awareness of the frustration was there and I was completely detached to it. It was like watching a movie being projected. It was no longer, in capital letters, my frustration, and I was no longer there. So when this frustration filled up the nothingness, I was watching it without claiming it. It was very similar to the nothingness because as I kept watching it, the label frustration that was used to sum up the feeling disappeared along with the feeling, and when they disappeared, there was nothing left. There was no feeling, no labels, only awareness. I was now in just being state. The only thing left was the awareness of awareness. Tiruvan Saranai, Hasini. That's the end of the report, Bhante.
This is not Onaya, Hasini.
Yes, Bhante.
So, the first very sentence, not the very first sentence, early part of the report, she used to say, I was frustrated because I was not mindful. That I challenge. You know it is not a happiness. You know it is not a hatred. You know it is not a disappointment, but frustration because of your mindfulness. Not that due to the lack of mindfulness. So therefore, the day you appreciate that very understanding of frustration or delimitation of frustration, or discrete understanding of frustration is a result of mindfulness, not an insult of mindfulness, not due to lack of mindfulness. So that correction will give a credit to mindfulness and a reason to be glad and a reason to be encouraged. And with that preparedness, if you go for the frustration, you claim, you use the word, I can disclaim them. It is not me, it is not mine. So there are two other terms you have to learn, disavow, disclaim. I can look at it in an objective way, not a subjective way. So frustration is the best mind concomitant you learning by you are learning the whole humanity. You are not avoiding it, you are studying it. You are studying not a falsified one, not a past one, not a future one, under your very nose. Imagine you at the 14, if you can understand the periphery of the frustration and the beginning of frustration, end of the frustration, you will be the most interesting person on the earth. You can verily she can share with the others. All the other people are frustrated due to frustration. They are slaves. They are not learning frustration. They are not overcoming frustration. So I don't claim them as mindful people. So you are on the way, but I am not telling that you are an expert and you have done away with everything. But you are on the way. Your report is very well presented and organized, except that very sentence. Can Ari read that sentence, please, again?
Which one, Bhante?
The third sentence, I think, may be, I am frustrated because lack of mindfulness.
Yes. Now only the awareness of the frustration was there, and I was completely detached to it. It was like watching a movie being projected. It was no longer my frustration, and I was no longer
that
there.
That is the latter part. I am telling from the beginning, third sentence may be, I was frustrated because lack of mindfulness. That is the sentence I wish to have repetition.
Yes, Bhante, just give me a minute. The frustration came because I was not mindful.
That is the
However,
what?
I was...
That is what. So, yeah. I am telling you are frustrated and you know frustration because of your heightened mindfulness. The day you take in the correct perspective, you are the first person to take the frustration as a subject matter and you are fairly started and halfway. So, therefore, that is the only thing I am correcting. But the rest of the thing I am just appreciating and I am so happy at this age if we can talk in these terms. That means you people will take the world in our absence in a better way. We are going to the second question.
Yes, Bhante. This is from Onaya. Dear Bhante, I am 17 years old and here's my current experience. Please advise me. Sitting meditation. I started by sitting meditation just after I have woken up. So when I closed my eyes and focused my attention to my breath, barely any thought came. Throughout the length of the meditation, I focused my attention on the sensation of lightness that I felt. However, some thoughts did come to my mind, but they were very slow in the way that they passed through my attention. I was still not able to find the ending of each thought. However, I could tell that each thought was creation that lacked any link to the previous one. I was looking at this for a while, but the more I went on, the more I became restless. Due to this, I began to have more thoughts. Just then, my alarm went off and I got up from my meditation. Teruvan Saranai, Onaya. That's the end of the report, Bhante.
Yeah, there's also another subject like frustration. Once the thought happens, they start chain thoughts. And ultimately, you claim this as me, claim this as mine, and then onward, you will be taken for a ride. The answer is, as soon as thought come into the stream of consciousness, if you can just detect, you can nip it at the bud level because it is not taken for a ride. It is not taken the momentum. It is not a chain thought. It is not a train thought. It is not storytelling. So storytelling is appreciated in novel writing, teledrama, everything. So therefore our mind also been accustomed and accordingly storytelling is happening. Ultimately, myself or ego go and claim it as me and mine. Then they call scientists, they call Nobel Nobel Prize winners, bloody fools. They are just thinking. They are completely thinking, utterly in artificial intelligence and artificial kind of thing. They don't experience it. They are fabricating and we people read it without breathing, telling they are the one. So they misuse the term noble. But you, what you are talking about is, you understand if you neglect, thought will take the momentum. Thought will take a story. And you go and house it, enter into that. The day you understand the entering point, where I claim this series of thought as mine, you understand it's happen habitually. Earlier you appreciating it, now you're observing it. And wait and see what will be the end result. Enormous. The teacher is within you. Observer is within you. Answer is within you. Answer is within the question. Only thing is, be prepared and observe. The preparedness is sometimes known as your view. You look at in a such a way, you're thinking about you are observing your thinking. And you're never going to give a soul. You are not going to give a theme. You just see. Then they become inner thoughts. Upanita Sayadaw used to say, they are background thoughts, foreground thoughts. If you give a life, they will overwhelm you. And when you come to the proper time, you will read Madhupindika Sutta, and you will read Venerable Katukurunde Jnanananda's, the late Venerable's book, Concept and Reality. You see how the thought is a concept and how it becomes reality. Soon, ego creep in. Moment the ego withdrawn, they are concepts. Moment you get into it, it appears like reality. So this is what you call, when you go take a little seriously, it becomes bipolar, schizophrenia, hysteria. So but now you can decide where the innocent thoughts are happening, inner thoughts are happening, foreground thoughts, and after a while, if you are going to entertain it, it is also innocent job. But ultimately you become a slave. It's called overwhelm. So you are in a really interesting crux. Continue to observe. More and more you practice, more and more situation will under your control. And you will be writing another book on concept and reality rather than artificial intelligence. Thank you very much for the reporting and sharing with us. These reports, I am happy to take any time because they are young children. They are very, very dynamic and exemplified. Thank you very much for the presentation.
Thank you, Bhante. Chattu from Brisbane has raised his hand. So can he present this for Bhante?
I can't get you. Please repeat.
Yeah. Chattu from Brisbane has raised his hand.
Yes, yes.
Okay, Chattu, you can unmute. You can unmute the mic, Chattu. Okay.
I'm sorry, Bhante. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes. Clearly.
Bhante, so I went to a retreat recently and I met a special person there, older gentleman, and I was talking to him and he was very good with meditation. After talking to him, he said that he'd been practicing for 50 years. And so I asked him a bit more questions and I asked him his method and he said he was using Marcy tradition or Marcy method. But after having a further discussion with him, it seemed to be the case that he had never seen the disappearance of the object, and he would always continually note and view an object. I guess my question is that what's supposed to happen in that sort of method, or maybe something he's missed in his practice?
I am repeating to get the question clear, Chattu. You met a person who has practiced for 50 years and claimed to be a Mahasi system. And whenever the gross object becomes subtle and subtlest, he recreate the object and he consider this is something wrong. And you are having a doubt about that. Am I correct?
Yeah, I have a doubt that he should recreate the object. He should let it disappear.
So that I find as a mistake in the Mahasi system. And I was there 3 years and I found always they are repeating the beginner's repetition because they do mass scale teaching and mass scale instructions. But when you go to interviews, you are taken individually. Theoretically it says at a time you have to be face to face with the object with noting that it was vitakka and then vichara. Discreetly understand this is what, this is not the other one. So vitakka vichara is working. Later, vitakka is dropped. And you can understand the object, left is left, not the right. Right is right, not the left like. That means without vitakka, that means without noting. After a while, vitakka vichara also drop. Left appear like a right and right appear like a left. That part is, they are in the Pandita Sayadaw's instructions, and then left and the right is just two actions, just equal, and then onward noting what happens. What happened to the owner of the meditation? What is happening to the object? They dissolve off. That's called sabhava lakkhana. It's called natural characteristic. That part is completely lost present day in the Mahasi system. So therefore, they again do force breathing. They do rising and falling. They do create ego. They do create forceful thing. And they are onward, they are repeating the same thing. So your question is good. I think it happened because you have worked with us. And you know when someone is reporting gross object to the subtle and subtlest, what is the way we in Satipasala and the retreats we do. And you can see other people, they are again forcefully taken the rising and falling again because otherwise they feel lost. They feel no boundaries. They feel no anchor bolt. They don't feel pivotal point, the benchmark. And ultimately they are again and again creating ego. That is good for the psychiatrically imbalanced people. But if you are ready, that is what you see now. Ego is dissolving. Left and right is becoming equal. Noting and understanding become natural and it is useless. And everything appears like a system. Individual particle become insignificant. Do you understand what I am telling?
Yes, Pante. Thank you.
No, I am not telling you. What I am telling is, these are two ideas. One thing you have to say again, recreate object. That is to maintain the Mahasi system, not to get enlightened. If you wish to get enlightened, you have to get rid of Mahasi system. You have to get rid of vitakka, get rid of vichara. But still you can see the mindfulness is leading. This is radical. The base is gone. The pivotal point is gone. Benchmark is gone. Assembly point is gone. But still meditation is happening. So I am not always asking people to take that risk. Many are not happy. They want to have the ego. They want to have the pivotal point. So otherwise, then I say, if you feel fearful, if you feel uncertain, please come to the primary object. But some people say, I have no fear. I am ready. Oh, then jump. Frog jump into the old pond, plop. Chatu.
Thank you, Bante.
I keep both the things open.
Bante, can I ask one more question?
Yeah, please.
I also very much wanted to go at some point in time to Burma and practice under these masters. But now I have some doubt if I go there that I'll get something not as good as what I receive in Nisarnavanya. What are your thoughts?
So whenever thing is disappearing, how do you feel? You feel confidence or you lose confidence? When the object is dissolving, you are gaining confidence or losing confidence?
I don't really care.
So then you are say on the safe side.
Thank you, Bante.
Okay. Thank you for the joining. And your equipments and others are really working, solar powers and everything. Thank you.
Welcome, Bante.
I would say two things as well, Chatu. One is that...
This is Venerable Buddha Rakita.
Yeah. That in Mahasi, if you're a foreigner like you are, and you show up in Burma, they are like really force the beginner's instructions on you and this noting, and it's become quite compulsive.
1 minute, Chatu.
So they, a lot of the teachers now in Burma they're quite compulsive about you note, and then you stay on the breath.
Not the breath, rising and
falling. Yeah, rising and falling, that's what I mean. If, you know, what happens is that you might start getting confused, and then also like this old man, you get stuck at the beginner kind of instruction level and you don't move forward, you know. So it's a kind of tragedy that somebody, you know, 50 years ago came across the Mahasi method, got the preliminary instructions, and then didn't get mature instructions later on as they developed and matured. So they kind of end up circling back and back and back, and you can become very compulsive about noting all the time. And it's kind of like it almost brings up anxiety or something like that. It's a hypervigilance rather than an awareness. And I can't at the moment think of senior teachers that are in Burma active at the moment that I would... I couldn't really recommend anybody. A lot of the monasteries, all the old monasteries, have been taken over by junior monks of we'll say, Pandita Siaro. Even Pandita Siaro, he sent so many of his monks overseas that the really senior teachers, it's even hard to point where they are anymore. Some of them are in California and other places. So, you know, if you feel like you're making progress with the current instructions and you can have your doubts clarified and you're kind of content and your general life is improving, you know, these meditational achievements, like I always ask people mundane questions, like, are you feeling happy, content, balanced? Do you deal with difficulties that arise in life? And these kind of questions are a sign of a maturing mind rather than people talking about technicalities in their practice, like that they achieve something or something. Like that stuff is all rubbish. And a lot of the time people are talking about stuff they've read in books rather than substantial spiritual attainment. And then also there's the language and cultural problems. And also I would recommend that you avoid Burma at the moment, given its current political situation. It's very, very problematic.
Yes, yeah, that part, Chatu, that Venerable Buddha Rakhita's statement has appeared like a confirmation of mine, but I still keep two methods available. Whenever object disappeared, if you feel doubt, fearful, uncertain, yes, please come back to the primary object. That means you are psychologically not mature enough. Otherwise, you will completely lose, you go to the hysteria. But whenever object is dissipating, if you feel a novelty, a new life, new area, that means unknown, the freedom of not the fear of unknown, but the not the fear of freedom, but you feel like you are exposed, that you are psychiatry. That is a psychological person. For them only, categorically you have to say, be in the uncertain area, unknown area, novelty area. Whenever possible, you can come back to the primary object. You remember, I don't know, Ciara came from Canberra, and she asked this question. In midst of all the other senior, then I told, no, you are in a sound, or you have disappeared from the breath, no problem, be with the sound, be with nothing. Then everyone is asking, why don't you, Bhante, claim her, don't ask her to come back to the breath? Then I told, if you have fear, uncertainty, then come back to the breath, come to the assembly ground, come to the pivotal point, come to the benchmark. But if you are ready to jump into the water like a frog, jump. But don't generalize it. Because many people are psychiatrically not sound enough. So this old fellow would have a psychiatrically sick person. And lucky enough, he met you. You are also, I don't know, lucky or unlucky. The Chatu. Because your sister also is still not meditating. Am I correct?
She's very lazy.
So that means you are also partly unlucky fellow. Lucky enough, we met and play fool. Otherwise, you also will be very serious fellow. I will take you and measure it up and cut into pieces. So take it open. I will send you Ciara's question. And I wish to know your remarks. Then I can read your mind. I'll kill you, no problem. I can read. And happy to hear your sound, your voice.
Very happy to hear both of you after a very long time. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Welcome. Okay, now we are, Ari?
Yes, Bhante, we don't have any more reports, Bhante, we can continue, Bhante.
Okay, we will invite Venerable Buddha Rakhita to carry forward, to take forward from the last point we stopped.
So we're reading the Duttattaka Sutta, which is the octet on the hostile. This is the third sutta in this chapter of eights. It's the in the third great chapter of the Sutta Nipada. But when a peaceful bhikkhu, one inwardly quenched, does not boast of his good behavior by saying, I am thus, the skilled one, he is one of noble nature. He has no swellings anywhere in the world. We ended with this one last week, but I just wanted to repeat it for continuity. One who has formulated impure teachings, put them together and advanced them, becomes attached to the benefit he sees for himself, to that peace dependent on the unstable. Attachment to views are not easily overcome. Having decided among teachings, one tightly grasps a view. Therefore, among those bases of attachment, a person rejects and takes up a teaching. So this idea of formulating impure teachings, I think it's quite fundamental to the Buddha, that the Buddha doesn't formulate a teaching per se. He has an experience of enlightenment, and this is arising through direct practical insight, direct touch of the mind. So if you read philosophers or thinkers, they formulate, they think, they conjecture, they come up with ideas, and they think it through and they argue it out. Like, this is not the basis of how the Buddha comes to his teachings. He doesn't think it through and come up with something that sounds very smart and very clever, and it all seems to work, and it seems to be a grand unifying theory that explores and explains the underlying nature of the world and of reality. This isn't how the Buddha operates at all. He follows the path, and he does this mostly through meditation, but also through dana and sila, and he directly comes to enlightenment. And then he is describing the experience of enlightenment. He's describing the experience of reality that is seen without the bent perception of a person who has views, who has wrong views, who has wrong attitude, who has had a wrong livelihood, who has wrong meditational practices. He can see these things clearly. He can see the world as it really is, and he just describes it to his disciples as it really is. So this isn't somebody who's fabricating and coming up with interesting ideas that might be catchy and hook people. Whereas in this case here, he's talking about somebody who has formulated impure teachings, and he put them together and then advances them and becomes attached to the benefit he sees for himself. So these benefits can be the most exotic kinds of benefits you can imagine. For instance, if you're a politician and you have great power as a politician, you can command armies and you can command civil servants, and you can snap your fingers and you can get things done. But the power of a spiritual leader is even more exotic and more refined, of where you don't even need to go for election or a vote. You have become supreme in some people's minds. And this is an incredibly intoxicating kind of power and control over other people. And, the benefits automatically come along, like where somebody chauffeurs you around. You have great benefits. You can, sometimes you see it here with senior monks. They can drive through police checks. They can go wherever they want, whenever they want, do whatever they want. This is like benefits that these kind of spiritual leaders who are advancing impure teachings can come up with. I mean, if you ever saw a Sai Baba or any of these great gurus in India, my gosh, it's even more fantastic than if the state, it was a state, a U.S. president or somebody arriving. It's really incredible. So these are benefits, and they become totally intoxicating. And this is not the peace that this kind of person is achieving is a freedom of want. They can have whatever they want. And this isn't the kind of freedom that the Buddha is after. The Buddha is after freedom from want. He doesn't want at all. He doesn't want any craving. So this is a fundamental kind of peace, whereas the peace that arises from getting whatever you want is a transient peace. It's dependent on conditions, and views. It has to be seen how we can become so easily attached to a view. And there's a lot of like psychological experiments these days, which can kind of showcase to people how readily they can be that they can adapt a view that they've never heard before. I mean, so I'm often amazed at how people can have an opinion about something they've never seen, heard, or thought about before, but instantly they can have an opinion on it. Instantly, they can be arguing with you their opinion about something they have never seen, heard, or thought before. And you're like, my gosh, how come they have such an attachment to a view already without any prior experience, without ever coming across this phenomena before? It's really interesting to see and experience. Like, this is the power of views, and this is the propensity of the mind to become attached to views. So we have to watch this force in our mind, that the mind loves views. The mind will settle on a view instantly. It doesn't take time. It's instant. And one tightly grasps to one's view and will defend that view. And it's amazing how much people will fight over a view about something, you know, for instance, they've never really seen or heard before. It's amazing. Therefore, amongst those bases of attachment, a person rejects and takes up a teaching. So it is just amongst a base of attachment. Like, this is like the Buddha again talking, just this is the mechanics, this is the physics of the mind. It's just a base of attachment. You know, it's one of the many things that we can become attached to. We can become attached to food, to family, to clan, to status, to privilege, to profession, to all kinds of things. But we can also be very attached to our views. And a person rejects and takes up a teaching as a result of this attachment to a view. And it's amazing. Once you start to see the danger and the threat in views, then we need to be very cautious and very careful and develop awareness and mindfulness of views, my own views and other people's views, and the mechanics, the processes that are going on with these views, because they are such a powerful force in our life, and they shape everything. They can really shape everything. And I mean, at the moment, there's like expressions like culture wars and tribalism and political alignment and all of these kind of, you know, factions, all this kind of stuff. If you can see, this is kind of the power of views, the power of this basis of attachment in the mind. And on the one hand, it's very, very interesting if you want to see a validation of the Buddha's teachings in this very time. Like, so you have to imagine that what we're reading today was first spoken 2,500 years ago, and it is absolutely fresh. You know, it is unchanged. This is the human condition, and you can see it now in this very time. And you can't say that the author of this, it was 2,500 years ago. It is so fresh and here and now and relevant to our current life.
What is the stanza number in the Uttataka Sutra? You are referring to third or fourth? The fifth one. Yes. The number wise here, it is 788.
No, 784 I have here.
784? Yeah. So here in this numbering, in this Sutta Nipata numbering, 784 is the first sutta. First, this thing, Pakappika Sankata, that is 788 telling. The Pali. Yeah. Fifth verse. Yeah. So it is Pakappita Sankata Yasa Dhamma Purekata Santi Avivadata Yadanti Pasati Anisansang Tannisito Kuppativa Chasanti Chasating. Anyone who is having view and obsessed by a desire and made by the due causes. And forward running also the desire, it is impure. That kind of thing, that kind of a wrong fabricated views. If someone is find that kind of fabricated thing is beneficial, it is gainful, it is something creative. Ancha ratide ehin me vipaka janaka parivartana parivartana shilida vanehin kopyavut pratisampanno sanghita drushti asiru kota pavatneya. He become prominent because of his wrong view that is fabricated, that is run by before and after the tanha, and this thing some people see they are beneficial. That is how artificial intelligence. They are writing book after book, though do not know it is a concept. And because it is popular, it's people are chasing behind, but they don't have common sense. So what Venerable Bodhidharma was telling, it must be justified by common sense. It must be justified the consent of the human being. Other people, they not be the artificial intelligence or IT technology people, but they must have the common sense. More you become that kind of a wrong view, you are away from the common sense. You are away from the nature, the real things as they are. The Buddha is a human. He is justified by the people. Even though he's a king or beggar, behave like a beggar. But he know the idea of the human being, how important. Not the theoretically pushing and advertisement taken forward. So that is what we call Buddha. And that Buddha is within us also. So it may not be popular. It may not be many people are accepting, but it's a common sense, going with the nature, bio-loving and humanistic. My idea is, I am also talking about the copied, it's always minority. Whenever something is natural, whenever something is justifiable and realistic, it will never be a popular. It will never, it need no any advertisement. It speaks, quality speaks itself. So this case, the Buddha is talking, as he mentioned about 2006, it is a fabricated thing. Sundari is a beautiful girl and she appears like a nun. And she goes to the, according to the racketing of the plan, go to the Veluvanarama when the people are going home. And when the next day morning they bring food, she goes away from the Veluvanarama, Detavanarama, and people says, what this lady is doing? When you are coming home, she is going Veluvanarama. When you again babysit, she is going out. And after a few days' time, she is being killed. It is not just a simple joke, serious thing. And hidden under the place where the flowers, rotten flowers are put. And few days they were waiting. One day, 2 days, 3 days, Sundari is not to be seen. And they are the racketeers. And when this is to the king, Bhante, we checked everywhere that she is our friend and his favorite case. We can't go to Jetavanarama. Can you please allow us to go there and can you give us a... army officer or something, and then they open it and you see, what is the common sense then? What the racketeers are doing? What the sense of the king? And what is the idea of the Buddha? Buddha says, just wait. Just wait, don't run. Wherever you go, this is what it happens. And under such a crux, under such a turmoil only, Buddha says, some people, they are very happy, driven by the raga, beginning and the end, and well planned. And they think they are winners. For the first 7 days, yes. But after time goes, no one is judging, everything is happening, silence speaks. Ultimately, everyone knows who did it. So then the Buddha is talking about Duttattaka Sutta. They are started with the hatred mind, that means Padutta Manasa. Everything planned with that, thinking they are moralistic. They say these females can't live in outside world because monks are using her in a wrong way and kill her, hide her. Ultimately, when things are happening, but a revolt in the commoner's mind. So now Buddha is telling the principle behind it, how it works. Silence speaks. So presently, I would comment. I may be go to politics by that. Then Nelson Mandela and His Holiness Dalai Lama thrown away from the country. They put into jail, and this is no mercy, no justice. Just be, and they became a world leaders because this is we are not protesting them. We are not claiming war. We just say. We have been thrown away. So now the world is thinking whether the political powers or these simple two people, individuals, what they are talking. They are talking about the innocence. And the same thing only Gandhi also did. But Gandhi's character, I have not studied much. There were some good and bad. Of course, we see many good things. But present day, what the Dalai Lama is doing, Nelson Mandela has passed away. And recently there was a peace summit, and we have Nelson Mandela, Dalai Lama, and Eckhart Tolle were called to give a talks in Canada, and they were talking violence, and the utmost violence is declared against them. They are not, and the Buddha says, "Nahi veerena veerani sammanti idakudachanang avereena cha sammanti esa dhammo sanantanu." Because it's a natural force. It is a natural law. The hatred will never win by hatred. So present day you see the armed war. The how do you call, race. They are making so much of billions of things to go to the moon, go to the Saturn and conquer the space and Star Wars. We have the starving war. We have nothing to eat. Starving, but still with that situation, still they are with the state-of-art warfares in Afghanistan and this, but we people, we have separate thing, but still Dhamma is there. So unfortunately, it's Attakavagga, no one read this part. They say their language is archaic. And we can understand Mangala Sutta, Karaniyametta Sutta, Ratana Sutta. They are very effective and they are good for Corona. But never they open this book, the whole Sutta Nipata. Godwin used to say, Sutta Nipata, when someone is understand, there are no Sotapanni, Sakadagami, Anagami, directly person go to the Arahant. Throughout the Sutta Nipata, there are no four Aryan knowledges. Directly go. It is called quick enlightenment. That means it is token into the high potent, top class, different languages. So it gives electric change and it is the final liberation. So philosophers, this is Parayanavagga and Attakavagga is the most crux. Most important thing. But the Attakatha, our commentaries, they never appreciate it. This is no. They are given by them, the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, and they are the most important thing. This is the fresh thing from the Buddha. These things, and I would say, Venerable Dhammika asked me to read this first very Sutta, the Uraga Sutta, Kakkavisana Sutta. Kakkavisana Sutta is given as a commentary. It is not Buddha's utterance. This is the Paccheka Buddha's utterance. Paccheka Buddha, you know the silent Buddha? They never preach. There are some mute Buddhas. They are self-enlightened, but they can't teach. These things are their utterance. So whenever Dhammika asks me, just you read, what is the Kakkavisana Sutta is talking? It's sometimes going directly against the commentaries. So this Attakavagga also the same. So there is a Mahanidesa, Venerable Sariputta himself gave a commentary for this one. It is also considered as a canonical, that Venerable Sariputta's commentary itself is considered as a canon. So much so, they have been respected, but nowadays we are going back to the normal thing. But meanwhile, after the Jnanananda and I kind of thing, again the intellectual people, they now go to this. Because of this artificial intelligence and all the kind of, they are very organic. They are very natural. They are very, how do you call, law of the nature, not artificial. So therefore, whenever these things happen, I think again the world will be balanced, not the East-West difference. Now the East-West difference and everything is to keep the truth away and to show off the advertisements. So therefore, we monks living our life according to the monastic rules, we must not neglect these things. We must often, occasionally, read it and see what is happening. So your interpretation, I accept as it is. And Venerable Bhikkhu Bodhi is well read about the Mahanidana, Mahanidesa, and this is how you can see how thick the book is. It's so much of interpretations. But Mahanidesa is, don't allow anyone to go astray, keep in the track. And we are lucky. So therefore, never mind whether you convince others, whether you forced others or not, your general, your humanistic idea, your natural idea, present day, most uncommon thing is common sense. Yes, I am ready to listen.
Thank you, Swaminansa and Buddharakatamante, for teaching. And I wondered, is the wrong view that's spoken of in this these verses, is it that the people have a wrong view about what this girl has been doing, that they're making accusations that are wrong views, or is it something else that is referring to what is the wrong view that is going on here?
The wrong view is the Buddha and his disciple getting so much of fame, gain and everything. And someone wanted to tarnish it and they wanted to say they are wrong. But therefore they had a racket. Set a beautiful girl as a prostitute, but of course she is a nun, and after planning everything, killed her and hide her, thinking that that will tarnish whole the Buddha and the clan, but it was not there. The Buddha never argued. Of course, Buddha is talking and Buddha is teaching us through this book, this Duttattakavaga. The simply says, the Buddha answered with silence. Few days' time, whole country was, and the very first sutta, it says, some people consider the heretics are true. They are the truth. For the first 7 days, because she is missing, and her carcass was, the body was found in the Jetavanaram, everyone believed. So Venerable Ananda was fully upset. He thought that this will be the prevailing thing. Ultimately, we are to go to Pindapath. The Buddha says, don't worry, just wait. And every king and the country, everyone was under the impression, under the view, the Buddha and the clan is wrong. And Buddha says, don't fight, don't argue against, just let the time to happen, and thing happens. So the aditti is ditti. If you have no view, you are in the correct view. Any view you have is wrong view. That is what the Venerable Dhammika told me. Don't claim you are with a sammaditti. That means you have a ditti. Any ditti is wrong. When ditti is gone, that means when the silence speaks, their wrong views become, they become null and void. Don't argue. That Venerable Sariputta says, we'll do something. But they say, no, don't worry. And yet another case, Gami aranye sukadukka putto nevattanar noche parandaheya. Pusanti patsa upadim paticca nirupadim kena puseyung patsa. When they are planning and claiming and blaming you, if you have upadi, if you have wrong views and defilement, you will get hurt. Upadi. If you have no upadi, they come and claim. they come and blame. Who cares? Because you know, so whether you live in the forest or whether you live in a gama, no harm. Definitely people are finding fault with you. But if you are going to justify yourself, that which your heart is not clear. If your heart is clear, don't worry. Because there is a law, there is a natural law, it is with you. So therefore, any ditti you having, you have a counter campaign, you have to argue them and defeat them, that is not Buddha. That is not Dhamma. That is what the Buddhists has to understand specifically, where the Buddhists are majority. They are completely wrong. They are completely wrong. You people are coming from different countries, and you all are living and put up with us, and you, I think you can witness what I am telling. The country is Buddhist, government is Buddhist, so they are always fighting to keep away all the missionary work and kind of thing. Nothing to worry, you be mindful and mind your own business. Thing will happen. You have nothing to learn about all the other religion and their records and kind of thing. These records carry their own harm, their own destruction. Why should we analyze and go and get contaminated with them? Such a direct path is there. So therefore, if they complicate, they are complicating with their complicated mind. If you know, if you have done or not done, no harm. If you have not done such a thing, don't claim. It's a natural thing. It's a law of the nature. And you are with the law of the nature. You will be minority. And your truth will become not immediately. It will come later. But Gandhi says, even if it is a minority, even if it is coming the late, that is the truth. Others are doing with advertisements. The whole world is run by advertisement today. That's why they say, who run the world, girls? Who run the world, girls?
So the next verse is, one who is cleansed formulates no view. Anywhere in the world about various states of existence, having abandoned hypocrisy and conceit, through what would the cleansed one go astray when he is uninvolved? So this idea of abandoning hypocrisy and conceit. So this is the, this is not at the crux of a lot of these people who amass great power. And in this case, we're talking about people who are amassing spiritual power. So the ascetics, the wandering ascetics, had amassed great power. The Buddha and his Sangha had come along, and then they were attracting the support, and the support was being lost to the to these other wanderers of other sects. But the true thing that had been lost for these people is this hypocrisy and conceit, that they were hypocrites. They were advocating peace while at the same time they were killing this nun. They were advocating that how pure we were when they were like, had this whole blackmail kind of setup situation going on. So you can see the hypocrisy and conceit. And you can see this in leadership. When they are hypocrites, it's the thing that smells the worst. And in this present time, because of internet and other things like that, we have many ways of knowing about, what's going on in a country or in a place, in a situation. And that smell of hypocrisy and conceitedness is what comes through very strongly. Even with the best of, say, coverage or persuasiveness. And you have to remember that these ascetics would have been very persuasive people. But a genuine monk has abandoned hypocrisy and conceit, whereas these hypocrites or these wandering ascetics at that time were full of hypocrisy and conceit. So when we genuinely are cleansed, that he's here referring to the defilements, as like these mental defilements, these mental proliferations, like views are a defilement, that when we cleanse ourselves of views, then how can we go astray? Because we're not involved. We become free from involvement in defending or attacking various views. We don't have anything to defend. As somebody once, somebody was saying recently, you know, like the best problem is no problem, or you know, the best maintenance is no maintenance. When you're not involved, when you're free from involvement, when you're free from defending views, when you can see both sides, when you can see both sides of the argument, then you have achieved a kind of a transcendent knowledge and a transcendent wisdom. So here again, we talk about in this verse, you can see cleansed, one who is cleansed formulates no view. So because you can't formulate a view, particularly if you see things as they really are, because it's neither this nor that. It depends on the situation. And like a lot of times people can be, I mean, one nice side of the Theravada Buddhism is that it can be quite clear and expounded, 1, 2, 3, 4. But other aspects of the teaching are much more difficult to appreciate if you're looking for a rigid structure, such as like, you know, the sort of like the mystery of what is Nibbana, for instance. Like a lot of people will think Nibbana is a place or a state, or it's like heaven or something like that. And it's got nothing to do with that at all. It's basically freedom from suffering. And we don't understand that it is freedom from a view that is what is cleansing us. And so that's, you really have to kind of dwell on this. That's why this sutta is mystical and difficult to expound and explain, because you have to really sit with what the Buddha is saying here. If you don't sit with it, you won't understand the subtlety of what he's talking about, because he's not teaching in a black and white way. He's teaching you that if you're free from view, then that is a cleansed mind. And whereas normally we're entrapped by views, we don't understand, we never see the world free from view. We don't know what that really is like. So we have to kind of dwell on that experience. We have to realize that it is views that are constantly filtering our experience of the world. We almost never interact with the world free from view. You know, if you talk about with some children and they're asking you questions about, is it like this and is it like that, or why is the moon in the sky, we can be immediately confronted with, oh my gosh, I don't have a view on exactly why there is a moon in the sky, and why the moon is there, and why is there a moon in the daytime. Like, that's one of the worst questions any parent will ask you. Like, if a child points up and points at the moon in the daytime, why is the moon there in the daytime? Most parents don't know anything about the moon. They're lost, immediately lost. They don't have a view on why the moon is existing in the sky in the daytime. So I'm just saying, it takes a child's like mind to not have a view, to see the moon in the daytime and point at it and say, why is it there? Most parents are lost. Like, this is just an example. So to be free from a view is to start to see the world as it really is. And in this way, it's described as like having dirt removed from something. You can imagine it's like having a window of your car and it's covered in dirt. You don't see the world. You don't see where you're driving. Most people don't see where they're driving because of views. So anyway, and these prime views that these heretics would be holding on to was hypocrisy and conceit.
7, 8, 9, the sixth verse.
Yeah, it's the second last one.
No, this the how many verses in the this one? 8 here.
Yeah, I think 8. It's the second last one.
This is the third last one. This is. No. Yeah, that I am anyway reading the 7, 8, 9. Maybe.
Okay.
7, 8, 9. Ditti nivesa nahi swati vanta dhammesu nicheya samuggahitam. Tasma narotesi nivasanesu nirasati adi saticha dhamma. The single translation is, if someone is the deceased truth, rest is wrong. idam sacchabi nivesa, they can't overcome that. Very difficult. If someone is believing this is the truth, not the other. This only truth, not the other. They are the worst case and very difficult to overcome. And 62 views are for them. And they take it as a norm. They take as this is my view, this is my view, this is my view. That is the way it happens. They sometimes take behave like a cows, behave like a dogs and all the kind of ascetic practice and they leave it, take it for them. This is not for people, those who have no views, wrong views. They need no that kind of heretic practices. They want to have the mindfulness, that is a simple thing. But these people are well received by the society because they have something to show. People think this is what the asceticism, this is what the mindfulness, this is what the monastic life means. But monastic life is simply no view. For them, these kind of behavioral patterns and all the kind of thing appear like nonsense, appear like wrong views. The basic wrong view is if someone is saying this is the truth, rest is wrong, please keep that person away. It's the worst. And they have that 62 diversification. They can get all the one or the other heretic views, and that is the first sutta in the Digha Nikaya, Brahmajala Sutta. And if you do not have that kind of a thing, you have nothing to practice like a dog or like a cow or something like that. Not necessary, just to be mindful, just sit comfortably. Just to have walking meditation, just walk on the earth, nothing else. So that's all this book says. But Bhante says it is the next stanza. Yeah, the seventh. දෝනසයි නත්ති කුහිංචි ලෝකේ පකප්පිතා දිට්ටි බවා බවේසු මායංච මානංච පහාය දෝනෝ සකේන ගච්ඡය අනුපායෝ සෝ all the miss how do you call evil things or unskillful thing is dropped, the noble one he don't have, he just entertain any kind of view. There cannot be any camouflage, no conceit. There is no, how do you call, perversions and no desire because he has dropped everything. Any other people, they have something to prove, something to highlight, something to cheat, something to pervert, all the kind of thing. These arahant, those who are completely free from, they are called dhona. Dhona is the pure person. He is nothing to worry with them, or prove or disprove, because he is free from. So appear like very boring dhamma. It appear like very boring. But we have to give a fight and we have to create a problem, and the conspiracy theory, they say, is problem, reaction and answer. That's the way government is running. Create problems so people react. And then government take, and then going on. But here the donor is not creating problem and not reacting. So answer is not necessary. That is what, so I think we have now come up to the proper time for the stop and ready to go for Pindapatha. So one more stanza left. So thank you very much for the participation. We are going to wind up the today's session. Kamami. Kamitabhaṁ Sukhi hotu Sukhi hotu Sukhi hotu